Anna. That was great. We are in Luke tonight. We're taking a little break until the beginning of the year from our discipleship series, and with it being Christmas, we want to look at that. We'll read the verses here. There's quite a few. We'll read through them. Luke chapter number 2, very well-known part of the Christmas stories. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that he should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn." And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, and it was told unto them. As we think of the story of Christmas here, I don't know if you remember, you have to be a little older school. How many remember who Paul Harvey was? Who knows that him? What is he famous for? The rest of the story. When I used to, one place I used to work, I would listen to that. It'd come on every night. It was a little story he would tell. For instance, he told a story one time of Charles Lindbergh's family. I believe they immigrated from Sweden, one of those countries like that. Before his family immigrated to America, in Sweden there was several last names that were very common. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to get away from some of those, and so they asked some of the families if they would willingly change their last name so that they wouldn't have like we have a lot of Smiths, because there's a lot less of those though, okay? And so Charles Lindbergh's family changed their last name. That was not their original last name. Now he tells the story, says so, and then he goes, "Now let me tell you the rest of the story. If they had kept their original last name, Charles Lindbergh's name would have been Charles Manson." Okay, how many know Charles Manson? He didn't fly an airplane. He killed people. Okay, so he tell a little story, but you didn't really get the whole thing. You had to get what he was really getting at, the rest of the story. In Christmas story, we miss it so often. You know, we know it, and it's like, you know, I mean, people could tell it. Fact of the matter is, the verses we read here are really well-known scripture. Charlie Brown preached on this, okay? Or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Charlie Brown, it was Linus, wasn't he? He quotes it in the story. Years ago, someone gave us tickets to Knoxbury Farm during Christmas break, and our family went. And it just so happens it was raining that day. There was only like 500 people there. It was really great, actually, if you didn't mind getting soaking wet. We just walked up on any ride. But they had some type of Christmas play there, and they actually got up and quoted Luke chapter 2, King James Version even. And so these are very well known. But if we don't stop and dwell on it, we really don't get the whole Christmas story. We really don't get what Christmas is all about. Christmas is very commercialized, right? It's politically incorrect now. If you say Merry Christmas, you're offending somebody. Okay, well, last I checked, it's Christmas, right? It's about Christ. It's his birthday. And I don't know how that's offensive. It's very secularized. It's more about time off of work and all those different things. But the fact is, doctrinally speaking, Christmas is very important to the Christian faith. You think about Christ's deity. In other words, it was God becoming flesh. That's why it was very important that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, because Romans tells us that the sin nature is passed down through Adam. And so if Jesus would have had an earthly father, he would have been, first of all, not God at all, but second of all, he would have been a sinner because he would have got that sin nature. But because he wasn't, he was God literally in the flesh, and John chapter 1 tells us that. And the prophecies fulfilled and all the different things. So tonight, just very briefly, I want us to look at some things that are in the Christmas story that maybe we would not think about as we think about the Christmas story, and could be helpful to us. And I have three things I want us to see tonight about the rest of the story of Christmas. First of all, it's a story of providence. Providence. What is providence? Providence is this. It is God working in the background. God orchestrating events. God orchestrating things that happen for a desired end, for a desired purpose. In other words, it's things that happen aren't just accidents. God either brings it or God allows it. And if we look at this story, we see God's providence throughout the whole story. We see it in several areas. Look, letter A, I think you have a handout tonight. In the taxing, okay? This is probably one of the few times in history that taxes were a good thing, okay? Now, our government is not quite as bad as theirs. He had to go to Bethlehem. They had to go to their hometown to be taxed. Our government's very benevolent. They'll take your money from you anywhere you're at, all right? But it's in the taxing. We see that in the first three verses. The Bible was very clear where the Messiah was to be born. It was a prophecy to be fulfilled. It's amazing how people try to, you know, secular people like, well, you know, Jesus was just a good man who claimed to be the Messiah, and he tried to work it out so that things would happen to prove he's the Messiah. Well, that's a pretty good trick to make himself born in Bethlehem, okay? That's just how our society thinks. It was providence of God to get him there. It was not an arbitrary thing. How does that work in our lives? Sometimes things happen in our lives, situations come that cause us to maybe do this, that, or the other, and we think it's an irritation, but in God's economy, he's trying to get us to a place where he wants us to be. He's trying to mold us and make us what he wants to be. So it wasn't just some accidental thing. God was getting them to where they need to be. So we see God's providence in the taxing. We also see the providence of God in the trip. He had to go to a specific place. I wonder if he knew the scripture that stated that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. By the way, it was the worst possible time for them to have to go to be taxed. She was ready to deliver. But they had to go. It's about trusting God. That the things that we do in our life, the things that come our way that we have to deal with or we have to take, God is using that for a specific purpose. By the way, I guarantee you the trip wasn't joyful. I mean, it's hard enough. To drive to Bethlehem would be a tough thing today. If you're 9 months pregnant, you're right there. Could you imagine the times in which they traveled? There wasn't joy in the trip, but the trip had meaning in the eyes of God. So often we don't like our journey that God puts us on, but God has a purpose for everything that happens within that journey. Everything that God allows in your life, everything you have to work to, God has a purpose for it. God uses it for something in your life, either to mold you or help you to be a message to somebody. So we see in the trip. Trips sometimes are inconvenient, but often they are necessary. You know, God brings trials into our life sometimes. That's a trip we take. Why? He's trying to teach us patience, as it tells us in James chapter number 1. Because that matures us. He brings problems into our life. We don't like that, but it builds trust in God. We like the verse, all things. Why? Because they bring work together for good. And so there we see it in the trip. You see it, letter C, in the timing. It was so that while we were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I mean, everything happened right when it was supposed to. I mean, maybe she could have got there and held off like Danielle's holding off here. She doesn't want to have the baby yet. Okay, she does. She's just not quite there yet. But, you know, you make it there and then head out and maybe have the baby on the way back. Okay, you know, things don't turn out as planned. Like my daughter, when Levi was born, he was born in a Toyota. Okay, they didn't quite get to the hospital. By the way, my son-in-law was a delivering physician. He delivered the baby in the car while turning left and drinking Starbucks. He's amazing, okay? They say, where was the baby born? What hospital? Not a hospital. He was born on Atlantic, and I think on Atlantic and Spring. That's the hospital right there. I thought that was, you know, Home Depot. But that was very, so it could have happened like that. But God knew in his time that when she got there, the timing would be right. Understand this. By the way, I like this because it just shows the perfection of Scripture. Okay? Someone once said, you know, people that looked ahead to the Messiah must have been confused because it says he was going to be born in Bethlehem. It says he was going to be a Nazarite. And it also said that he'd be called out of Egypt. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Where's he going to, which one of these places is he coming from? Well, in the story of his life, he was at all three. Scripture's always right on. Okay, and timing will always be right. Trust the Scriptures. The Scriptures are always good for us, and they will always come through in the times in which we need them to. Letter D, we see it also, the providence of God in the turning away. And he brought forth her first, and she brought forth her first born son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him at the end. You know, it's very interesting that Jesus' life, the beginning of his life, ended up being a lot like the end of his life. He was rejected in the beginning, and he'd be rejected by the world in the end. And so we see that all these things that happened, this cute little story we go over every year, it's not just a cute little story, it's not just some, it all had the stamp of God on it. As is everything in our life, if we will allow it. God can use everything in our life to get us to where he wants us to be. Number two, it's also the story of proclamation. In other words, the angel proclaims some great information about this one who had been born. We see part of the purpose for his birth. First of all, so we could get peace. Verse 8, and there came in that country the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And God gives them a message. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Don't be afraid. By the way, the gospel we share, is it not called the gospel of peace? It brings peace between us in an eternal sense and our God. Because really, we are, before we know Christ, we are really in rebellion to him. But peace. Jesus came that we might have the peace of God. And not just any peace, you know, just the peace to get by. It's the peace which passeth all understanding. It's a peace that people who don't know Christ cannot comprehend. Amen. You go to a hospital, maybe there's a tragic situation, and one family that doesn't know Christ, they're just completely torn up, and rightfully so. But part of it that makes it worse is because they don't understand that there's a purpose. They don't understand that there's a God there that can help them, and he's in control of everything, and he can help them through this. And then you see a Christian couple, yes, they grieve, but they understand all of it and the purpose, and they understand that God is in control. We can have peace. By the way, Christmas is a time of stressing out, right? Just go to the internet, just type in, Good Friday, Black Friday fights. Man, that's better than Saturday night fights, I'm telling you right now. Like, all for a television set or an iron, okay? And they're going to drop the gloves and just go at it. People get stressed out, but there's peace in life with Jesus Christ. You know what they say, if you know Christ, then you know peace. If you have no Christ, then you have no peace. That's how it works. We know nothing of the outward peace until we have experienced inward peace through Christ. How can we make sense of everything that's going on in this world? That's part of salvation. That's part of knowing Jesus Christ. A lot of things are going to happen in your life, especially as you get older, and things you experience and things that happen and things you just want to question. But if you know Jesus Christ, you have a peace that people don't understand. And by the way, it'll last past December 25th too, for sure. Also, it's a story of the proclamation of the good news. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The good news is the gospel. His birth was just the beginning. Really the good news of the good news of Christmas is not the birth, but the eventual death. Where does joy come? Joy comes from Jesus Christ. Because you go through things and joy can be fleeting sometimes. You know, so often the way we live, and I guess we all are going to be guilty of this in some degree, you know, if things are going well, we're joyful. Boss gives you a raise, that's great. He says, next year, you're going to get a great raise and a promotion, and we're going to use you. Or the boss can come and say, next year, we're scaling back, you're getting less hours. You can't control those things. But joy is because of the relationship we have with Jesus Christ through salvation. That cannot be taken away. By the way, you say, no. Something happened and it took my joy away. Or somebody did something and they took my joy away. People, circumstances, problems cannot take your joy away. You can only give it away. If you lose your joy, it's because you have chosen to. You've probably disconnected with the fact that you are a child of God, you do know Jesus Christ, and he does have a plan for your life. Great joy. Good news and then great joy. Letter, did I give you those? I think I mixed them up there, but they're the same. Letter D, also we see global influence. Global influence. Which shall be to who? All people. Oh, it's for everybody. You know what they say? You can never take the gospel to the wrong person. This world needs what was available starting on that day that Jesus was born until leading up to his death. They need that. And by the way, God has so ordained and so planned that it is through his people that this is spread. You know, Christmas is a time of gifts, is it not? Right? If you have children, you have joy in giving gifts. You say, well, I like getting gifts. Okay, but it's not as good as giving gifts. Think of it this way. Salvation is the one gift that you can give away and yet you still can keep. Because when you give it away, you're not losing your salvation. You're sharing with somebody else, as Brother Jim mentioned. He got the gift of the two young people he talked to. It's a free gift. But it's got to be shared. It's for everybody. Therefore, we should be concerned about everybody, and we should share the good news with everybody. Also, he says, letter E, go see. And then in verse 11, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and it shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He's telling them, hey, there's where he is. You need to go find out for yourself, and we're going to see that in a minute. Jesus is worth seeking. They were told to go find the Messiah. You know, I like that verse in Psalm. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? He's good. You say, I don't think he's good. You probably haven't tasted. You probably aren't allowing him to be good to you. But he is good. Jesus is worth seeking. And of course, we understand how we seek him in our relationship. We let him talk to us through his word. We talk to him in prayer. In our life, we try to practice in our life in such a way that we are close to him. And then lastly, it's also the story of persistence. They took heed to what the angel said and went on their way quickly to see this newborn babe who was the king. Let me give you a couple thoughts here and we'll be done. They were persistent in seeking. And it came to pass, the angels were gone away from them. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I like those key words. They said, "Let us now." He said, "Go find Jesus." And they're like, "Let's go." There's nothing. I mentioned the other day in one of the messages, you know, why do we hesitate to go serve God? You know, why are we so afraid just to get up, put it in fifth gear, and get out of here? Well, you know, I'm patiently growing. Good. Patiently grow in fifth gear. Okay? Go forward. What are you waiting for? There's nothing to, and I know, I'm a believer in patience with new converts. If you're a new convert, we're very patient. Okay? Because there is a growth process. But it doesn't need to take 25 years. All right? Now they got up. And with haste, they got there in a hurry. They got up and got on their way, and they hustled on their way. And then when they got there, they found him. That's God's desire for us to seek him. What are they, the little bumper sticker? Wise men still seek him. Have a desire this year to know the one who came to earth on Christmas Day. Is God a priority in your life and your time? I mean, is he really important to you? So, get in his word. Spend time finding out who he is. Make him a part of your life. Constantly be reminded in your mind and meditate that he is with you. You know what you should do, and you ought to do this, at the end of the year, do an evaluation of your life. What is lacking? What in my life and my time and my entertainment, well, you name it, is it saying that I am seeking Jesus Christ? If not, maybe you take that evaluation and you make some adjustments, okay? But let's seek him. He is what life is. Paul said that in Philippians. Then there's also sharing. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I mean, they heard this, and they're going after him, and they found him. Now they're telling everybody. By the way, do you know that's kind of what happens in the Bible when people find Jesus? I mean, the woman at the well, she didn't even come to RU soul winning training. That day, she was out getting people. Remember the maniac of Gadara? Right off the bat, he was going after people. Remember we looked at on Sunday, Paul. Paul got saved, and right when he got his sight back, and he's just out telling everybody right away what's going on. Usually the best converts, people to bring people to church sometimes are the new convert. They just go after it. Let's go seek. Let's go share everything. Look, people will talk about what's important to them. Their hobby, their this, their team, their that or the other, okay? If it's important to them, you can tell. You know, look at these guys in football games. It's winter now, right? And it'll be a game where it's snowing, and here's a guy out there, no shirt on. He's painted his chest blue. He's got a piece of cheese on his head. And he's like 75 years old. It's like, I like my football team, but I'm not going to wear, you know, ram horns, okay? But that's just, you know where they stand. Well, you know, but if that same person becomes a Christian, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, look, the guy behind you at the football game can't see because you got a big piece of cheese on your head. Well, let's share them. Let's let people know that, hey, we love him. And then the Spirit. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Man, they get up, they go find them, they're telling everybody about them, and they're as happy as a bug in a rug, whatever that means. I mean, they're excited, and they're just praising God. They had a good spirit. I guarantee you, when they got back, people are like, "What happened to you?" I met Jesus. God's good. It's the most awesome thing I've ever seen. By the way, though, sometimes I have met Christians that have such a horrible spirit. It's like, whatever you have, I want to get in. I don't even like immunizations, but I'll get the immunization. I don't want to get what you have. I just don't want it. You know, we had someone visit one time. He's visiting our church and supposed to be a solid Christian from some out of state. And the guy wouldn't even tell me his name. I had to keep guessing. And then he told me his name. And later on, I found that wasn't even his real name. Like, what? He looked like he just got drop kicked. It's like, let's be excited. That doesn't mean we have to always run around like, you know, dopey. Okay, you know. But we can be excited and we can have a good spirit. I think I have a little quote on here. Maybe I don't. Oh, it's right here. It's all good. Okay? You know, you're like a walking advertisement for the reality of Christianity. If people were buying Christianity, now people, you buy online, right? But we still sometimes, there are some things, you want to go see it on person and see if it really is good before you spend money. If people were shopping for Christianity and they saw you and just the spirit you had, would that attract them to Jesus? It should. Amen. Not that you're perfect or not that, and I know our personalities are all different. Just being excited about Jesus doesn't mean we're always goofy, but it means that when we talk about it, people just tell there's something different. These guys were different. That's the rest of the story. Let's pray.